Hey, you guys, RS Cole here with
Shadow Soul.
We are back with another casual cosmic conversation, of course. So let's go ahead and get into the topic. We're going to go ahead and get it popping. Y'all already know how we are. We ain't got no sense. So don't try to monitor us. Monitor your kids.
That part. Guess who let me take over the podcast today? This Shadow Soul here. I'm going to be asking all the questions today.
Oh boy. And I have no idea what these questions are. Just so y'all know.
No, she doesn't. And it's very detailed. And I can't wait. So you know when you're ready.
I'm ready. We're here now, so.
We're here? Okay. Everybody take your seat, drink some water, relax. This is going to be fun.
Do I need to get water too, or?
I thought you already had water because you're a professional.
It's upstairs.
You can go get some water if you like.
Okay, it's upstairs, so. All right, I'm still ready though. Like, let's.
Okay. Question number one. How can you tell if you chose to come back or you were sent back to pay a karmatic debt?
So a lot of people are actually not going to like my answer to this, and I'm okay with that. Y'all know I don't give a care. So basically, let's be honest, the law of karma is a facade. Let's be real. It really is. You create, it is a facade. You make and create your reality, whether that be good or bad. You make or break yourself, whether that be good or bad. The only thing that people don't understand that it has nothing to do with this quote unquote term of karma, but it has everything to do with a mirrored effect. Basically, you being able to hold a mirror to yourself and say, damn, I fucked up. So this is how I need to change it. They always put out the, oh, if you do good, you'll get good. Yeah, that's bullshit. You control your reality. You sitting here waiting for somebody to save you ain't gonna happen. So knowing that you came back means you are already ready, gung-ho. You are like, there's something more. There's something that I'm sitting here to do. I have to master that. I have to find that. So you continue to go, 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 go. A lot of people who come back for their do-over, for their mirror effect, are miserable. They are very miserable. They're still trying to figure it out. A lot of adverse things happen in their life because they were sent back for them to change it. Like, hey, go do this again. Go rerun your experience so that you have a better outcome. So it's all about the perception of your own reality.
So where does suicide take place in that reality?
Suicide definitely takes
place. A lot of people got into this knowledge. Mm-hmm. It was like, well, I don't want to be here anymore. And I could just, you know, kill myself and have a different reality. Do those people come back with a debt because they chose to end their life prematurely?
Their mission was not complete. But you have to realize that you cannot end your life unless forces beyond your knowledge say that it's okay. Because think about how many people have attempted suicide and were unsuccessful. No, because you're here to do a purpose. But if you need to reset and recalibrate, some people will be able to actually successfully end their lives. And you know what happens? They come right the fuck back. They come right the fuck back. You were not done. Your mission was not complete. Go back. Literally, it's like a return to sender. Go back. That is also a portion of the mirrored effect, because now you have to hold a mirror to yourself.
You got to hold a mirror to yourself. Mm-hmm. I ask those questions because literally people can do that right now, like hold the mirror to themselves. Now, because we get into this space where we don't know the answers. and we don't know how to find answers. So like, we're talking to God and talking to the universe, and we're saging and doing our spiritual baths, and we're not getting the answers that we want. So we feel like, well, I'm tired of struggling. Mm-hmm. There's no, life is very still right now. I feel like I'm in idle. And I'm not going backwards, but I'm also not going forward. Mm-hmm. With those people.
So basically what you just described is stagnation. You've described people that are in a stagnant void because they refuse to learn. They refuse to listen. They refuse to remove the layers. And as a result of that, they stay stuck. So some people, like, just to blow everybody's mind really quickly, if you follow me on Instagram, then you've seen this information. But some people are here literally to be a soulless portal, a void of chaos. In life, there has to be balance. Like, some people are really here, their sole purpose is to deter your spiritual growth and sometimes even cause you harm. But it is up to you to utilize your discernment of who is who and how to navigate your experience. So a lot of times people who are in those stagnant fields possibly have ran into that void of chaos, that individual who literally puts you in a box.
So, like, a form of blockage.
Yes.
Like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And just to be clear, and for you, I want you to say, when it comes to blockage, could that be anybody in your life? Like, anybody?
Yes. That can be your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your child, your lover, your best friend, your quote-unquote ace boon coon of who you felt you grew up with, so you cannot release them no matter how much fuck shit they do. So many things, people, and places can be a blockage.
You already first, because I say that a lot. Blockage, but sometimes I might not be saying it right. Maybe I need somebody to jump in and say it with me. Yes, anyone could block you. Matter of fact, the person that you think won't block you the most is probably the main person blocking you.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't take off those glasses and see. You don't want to open up your veil. You don't want to do your spiritual work in the right direction. Just think about it. And that person probably already exposed themselves to you, but you was too naive to notice.
Thanks.
But switching gears to question two. What made you start these cosmic conversations?
Transparent moment. A part of the reason I even started, my podcast or the conversations with you? Because hold on, which one?
You know what, you can answer both, but okay. I meant the conversations with me.
Okay, cool. So my podcast initially, as you guys see, is called Hurt to Heal. When I started my podcast, it was actually a way of healing for me. A majority of things, if not almost everything you've heard me talk about on my podcast, have been experiences that I have had to grow through. This was one of the darkest catapults, in my life when I started this podcast. That was literally me in my shadow zone. Having to come out of it, fighting my way up, fighting my way back to the top from feeling like I was dropped into an abyss. And if you listen to my podcast, like from beginning to end, or just like from beginning to now, you'll literally be able to hear my growth. You'll be able to just literally understand me a little more as an individual. And when the Cosmic Conversations came about with Shadow Soul, it was because I also had come into contact with a masculine energy who shared my views, who understood what I was speaking about, who understood the things that I had to grow through, who actually understood how to navigate this life in a completely different mindset opposed to what was taught to us. So a lot of people always say, you guys mesh so well. It seemed like you guys have known each other forever, blah, 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 blah. We had to pull some cards to be like, okay, how long have we known each other? But it's just been, you know, to the effect of being able to be understood and mirrored in masculine energy.
People don't know what that looks like.
They don't.
They're quick to jump. And this is what I've noticed. I'm not speculating. This is what I see. This is what I see on my post. Mm-hmm. Anytime I'm talking to a feminine energy, they automatically jump to, you know, twin flame energy, soul connection energy. Like, they jump there. I was like, you don't even know what energy, a masculine and divine feminine energy together looks like without sexualizing it or romanticizing it.
Right.
That's the first two things you think about. And I was like, that's deep to me. Because a lot of people get into the spiritual space and they do meet a masculine energy. And they was like, oh, we're meant to be together. I'm like, what? Because I understand you. Because we speak alien together.
Right. Exactly.
And I tell people back, take a few steps back and try to understand the connection first before you just jump into your fairy tale land of Barbie doll land of the romantic movies and everything, romantic cartoon shows and the Cinderella effect.
Oh yeah, definitely the Cinderella effect, because that's what they push on you. They basically teach you as a young lady, as a young girl, that your end goal is a man. Your end goal is marriage and family. So that's what you look for. You look for this fairy tale. You look for this Prince Charming. You look for these characters that they have created on a TV screen instead of understanding your experience of what it is that you are supposed to gravitate towards. So let me go ahead and ruffle a few feathers like I always do. So a lot of people hear this term twin flame and have no idea what a twin flame is. They always want to romanticize everything. And I know I made a TikTok video on it, but let's go ahead and really break it down a little more. So a twin flame is generally somebody who shares the same soul as you. And it basically catalysts you into your spiritual awakening. Because now that you've met the other version of you, you know what I'm saying? It's like, bam, hey, it's time to wake up. Not it's time to fuck. Okay? It's time to wake up. It's time to understand your journey. It's time to understand your mission. It's time for you to grow ahead and do the things that you need to do. Now, can you have a romantic twin flame? Yes, you can. Because let's be honest. You can make anything work when you got the right mindset. And that's why I said on the last podcast that you can create your soulmate. If there's somebody that you just feel you want to spend the rest of your life with, you can do that. But it's all about your mindset. But let's actually tap into what a soulmate really is. A soulmate is somebody who can be platonic or romantic. And basically, you guys are connected throughout lifetimes as companions, as friends, as best friends, could be mother-daughter, father-daughter, you know, all family dynamic, it could be siblings. Basically, somebody who you have a unique bond with. You help each other grow, prosper, and heal during your journey in a positive way. So that person that you with that's throwing dishes and shit, telling you you ain't shit, that ain't your soulmate. And that can go both ways for male and female. I said what I said. That person who does not see you, who only understands you on a sexual level, who cannot literally read your energy, is not your soulmate. I don't care how much you love them. I don't care how good the sex is. That doesn't mean they're your soulmate. Your soulmate does not come with drama and trauma. Your soulmate is a positive experience.
Cause we live in a generation where people feel like, you know, you got to go through these struggles with somebody. You got to go through hell with somebody to reach heaven with them. And I say all the time, like, that person put you through hell. That's not your person. I say that all the time. That person put you through the most toxic shit of your life. That is not your person. Mm-hmm. Even if they start to elevate, even if they start to change their ways, the person that is meant for you is not going to put you through any of that.
Right.
And we get caught up because that how we learn love.
Exactly. I was just going to say it's conditioned.
We learn love in a toxic way.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, he's not toxic anymore. So this got to be love.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite, because if a person was able to abuse you before, they would do it again.
Yep.
You allowed it.
Mm-hmm.
You got a comfort of allowing abuse.
Yep.
Why would you want that? Why would you want that reflection? Why would you want someone to, why would you want to be reminded of that? Because that abuse, that isn't going anywhere. You don't forget it. You don't forget the conversation that made you cry at night. Mm-hmm. You don't forget the embarrassment. You don't forget any of that. So why would you put yourself in a box and say, this is all I'm worth, or this is the best it's going to get? Like, true love doesn't exist. And this is why I got, and this is why I'm just going to stay comfort with.
And you said the key word, comfort. You said the key word, and that is comfort. But see, what people don't realize, like I was just explaining, that is what's considered a mirror flame, an ill-fated soul connection that is meant to mirror your darkest energies and redirect you.
Can I say that again?
A mirror flame, it is an ill-fated soul connection that is meant to mirror your darkest energies and redirect your soul. It's supposed to redirect you. Yes.
Why don't we talk about that? Why is that not in the equation of soulmates and twin flames? Why is it?
It's in my equation.
Did you just make that up? Or that
no. That's, if you listen to my definition of it, I have it literally broken down into a full definition. You know, it's an ill-fated soul connection that is meant to mirror your darkest energies and redirect your soul's trajectory towards your highest good, but not before destroying a part of you. This is a mirror flame. These are people who are here. It's what's called a necessary hurt, to make you go where you're supposed to go because you're going down the wrong path. You're going the wrong way. So it's supposed to wake you the fuck up and make you go towards where you're supposed to go towards.
Mirror flame. How many of y'all out there got mirror flames right now?
Right now, thinking that it's your soulmate. Like, whoa.
That's me. Mirror flame.
People don't realize it. They romanticize everything, and that's not how it is supposed to be.
That's do you understand this gatekeeper definition?
Wait, I'm sorry. Say that one more time.
I said, do you understand that you just gave people a new definition?
It's not, okay, well, it's probably new to them. It ain't new to me.
Oops, sorry.
Kiba, make him go upstairs. You making more noise than the dog. Sorry, y'all. My dog is being bossy. You're making more noise than the dog. Go upstairs, Kiba. Sorry. But we ain't redoing this because life is life. It is what it is. My dog is barking because he wants to defend our home.
That actually leads me to question three.
Okay. Oh, shit. We only on question three?
Yeah. We're on three.
Okay.
Do you believe in love? And how has it showed up on your doorstep?
Woo! Okay. Now we are about to get a little deeper. All right. So,
you said I can ask whatever I
You
want.
Did, you did, you did, but you already know that the reflection that just happened the other night, so you're not slick. Okay. Okay. Okay, alrighty.
Need some water?
So, no, I don't need any water. I was ready for this question, but I wasn't ready for the dynamics of this question because I'm going to have to break it down animals cracker style, which puts me in a very vulnerable state. And it's okay. It's okay. So I want you to ask the question one more time so that I can break it down fully.
Let me know when you're ready.
I'm ready.
Do you believe in love? And how has it showed up on your doorstep?
Okay. Yes, I do believe in love. I have come to understand and know that love is an energy. And you have to vibrate in that energy in order to understand it and in order to truly feel it. It definitely has showed up on my doorstep. I have actually met my twin flame. That twin flame also turned to a mirror flame, because that can happen, just so you know. They reflected the negative connotation that I had hidden with love. And if you know me, then you know I'm definitely stubborn, and I'm not a very emotional person. That person was able to bring out emotions that I locked away because that wasn't the version of me I wanted anybody to ever see, because I never wanted to be taken advantage of. So it definitely showed up, but not only did it show up, it reflected that I truly did not love love. And that was something within me that I had to heal, I had to grow through, and I had to understand better. We all say that we want somebody to love, or we want somebody to love us, and all this great fairy tale bullshit. And I'm going to say it just like that, because that's what it is. But if you do not understand that love is an energy, that love does not hurt, it is the person who did not understand how to love, or the person that did not understand what the energy of love was, that hurt you. We put love and expectations on people instead of vibrating in the energy of love. And that's our first mistake. because we have an expectation for somebody to make us feel a certain way, when in fact we should already be feeling that way, and that person should be able to just enhance it.
So how would you direct somebody to learn how to vibrate in the energy of love?
It starts with you. It starts with you really reflecting on yourself, thinking of the aspects of yourself that you really don't like, removing the layer of, you know, I am this person, accept me or don't, because that's toxic, truth be told. We all have flaws. And until you can love yourself with flaws and all, you'll never understand the energy of love.
So it's possible to just never even be in the frequency of love, but just mirror it, because you can see it, you can feel like you obtained it, but you can probably never be it.
Correct.
Can you imagine that? This person.
I had to. Like, I had to.
Like, I'm just thinking, like, this shit just blows my mind. Like, there's people out there that really think they're in love, and they have no clue how far they are from it.
Exactly. Because a lot of times people place these expectations when they're in relationships or co-partnerships or, you know, even with friends and family members, of how they want them to make them feel, which is an unrealistic and an unfair expectation, because those are your expectations. They are not obligated to make you feel that way. They're not obligated to conform to the idea that you have in your head. You literally took what you wanted, laid out a movie, the whole scenario, you romanticize the entire thing, but the moment that somebody does not fit the part that you want them to fit, or they don't say the lines properly, then you say that they didn't love you, or you say that you were disrespected. So were you disrespected, or did they just kind of hold a mirror to your bullshit and let you know that they weren't going to play your game?
Because people have to understand, when you decide to be vulnerable and share your existence with somebody, that's what you're doing. You're emerging worlds. You're not changing, going in and taking them out of their world and put them in your Barbie dream house. It's not how it works. That's not how it's supposed to work. And if you have somebody that's able to do that, that's definitely not your person. Because you're taking them out their element and making them into something you want them to be. We might as well just go get you a sex robot, because that's what you want. You don't want a divine masculine. You want a pet. Mm-hmm. You want a man.
Yeah.
Whatever you say, instant gratification.
Exactly. That's what you want. You want microwave love, yeah.
That's not love. I know I'm talking to a lot of people when I say that. So that's why I said it.
But apparently it needed to be said. It needed to be heard, because I don't think anybody have ever even understood this part of me. You know, I don't think anybody has ever really asked me, you know what I'm saying, like how I even felt about love, because you're taught that love is an action word, is what you're taught. You're taught that, you know, if somebody loves you, they're going to make you feel a certain type of way, right? Y'all have to erase that shit from your mind, because it's false. So think about this. Let's go back to childhood, right? This is honestly where the mental and emotional abuse can stem from. Let's say if you're a child, we grew up in the era of I'm gonna whoop your ass, okay? I do not believe in putting my hands on my children in order for them to get a point or in order to discipline them. So let's just be clear. I used to have that mindset of, oh, okay, I have to whoop them because this is what's going to make them understand. And I was just like, well, by the time they're five, they should get it. And that's it, right? False. Absolutely false. So for me, we all have possibly heard, I am whooping you because I love you. I'm yelling at you and telling you about yourself because I love you. And I don't want nobody else to do it. Not understanding that you are conditioning your child's mind to equate abuse to love, equate being belittled to love. Because what do you do after that? After you beat their ass, put them on punishment XYZ, you go and buy them ice cream. And you wonder why people do this. So let's say if a woman beats the fuck out of her dude, and it happens all the time, like, let's be honest. What does she do? Go buy him a new Cartier watch. Why? Because she loves him, right? And vice versa. If a man puts his hands on a woman, he choking her out, done blacked her eye, he go get her some flowers or a brand new purse. But he did it because he loved her. It's false. We've been bred a very false narrative, friend, and it just, I gotta call it out.
I'm over here reflecting on my childhood, like, damn.
Yeah.
Especially if you had, like, a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
At the divine masculine now.
Yep. And she had to operate in both energies.
And more in the masculine because she's raising a son.
Yeah.
So little to no feminine energy.
Mm-hmm.
Masculine, getting your ass beat. And then I'm supposed to learn love through that. That was my introduction to love.
Exactly.
And then getting little to no affection. Mm-hmm. On top of that.
Yeah.
You hungry. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to buy you some shoes. I'm going to buy you some clothes. I'll let you go play with your friends. I'll give you some freedom. But where's the healing?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of men out here with mommy issues 101.
Right.
Don't know how to love. And then now you have an attachment to your mom. You have an attachment to the pain that hurt. And then now, you're going to pick another woman just like your mom. Or you're going to treat every woman like your mom treated you.
Or you expect women to treat you the way your mother did. Mm. Or the opposite. So either you want her to coddle you.
Yeah. Coddle you. Feed me. My food should be ready every day when I get home from work.
Yeah.
Because my mom had it like that. Right. So that's how I want it from you. Laundry already done. I need you to do my laundry. Mm-hmm. What else my mommy do for me? Read me a bedtime story. But not a bedtime story. Now you have to have sex with me every time I want sex.
Mm-hmm.
So we play bedtime story with sex. Yeah. And you see how that's a lot of y'all marriages.
Yeah. Let's put an even bigger reflection on it, though. In the Bible, it says that the man and the wife, they become one, right?
Meaning
that they own each other's bodies. You know where I'm going with this.
I'm listening.
So, basically, in the Bible, there is a portion basically saying, denying your partner of their pleasure is a sin. A lot of pastors have utilized this. Let me go back and give you my situation on it. So, I had the fairy tale, let's be honest. With my children's father, we've known each other since we were 4 years old. We grew up together. XYZ, we got married, we had children, right? But mentally, he was not an adult. And me and he have had this conversation, so if he ever hears this podcast, he just knows, and it is what it is. Mentally, he was not an adult because he was forced to grow up entirely too fast, as was I. And it was almost like our family arranged our marriage. You know, they was just like, oh, you guys are dating now. You just may as well get married and have children. And, well, you know what I'm saying? Like, they just continue to push the issue. And at that time, we were heavily in church. And so even the church was like, yeah, you guys need to go ahead and just get married and kids. And blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? Like, they literally pushed this idea that we had to be together, that we were supposed to be together, that God said for us, you know what I'm saying, to be
not
together.
Not the preacher voice. Not the preacher voice.
I had to, so that people understood, that they felt the feeling, right? So he, in a lot of ways, had so many different unhealed traumas from a child, okay? And of course, at that time, I knew nothing about this, y'all. I knew nothing about this. I was in my 20s, okay? As a matter of fact, no, we were 18 and 19. We weren't even 20 yet, and they were pushing this on us. We were not even in our 20s. We were not even out of our teens. We were 18 and 19. Okay? So, when we were married, after I had our daughter, he was horrible with fucking money. He just was. We were making a lot of money, but he was just really bad with it. So I was like, okay, I have to go back to work because you're spending money on bullshit. So I ended up going back to work. And his thought process was, my wife is supposed to be at home. My wife is not supposed to work. You should be at home, basically barefoot and pregnant. Like, he wanted me to have 6 kids. And I was like, sir, I'm not going to do that. No, we're not. But in his mind, how he was raised, it was like, no, you stay home, you take care of the kids, you take care of the household, I go work. But like, I will reiterate, he was horrible with fucking money. This was the model that he grew up with, was his mom, was his dad taking care of his mom, taking care of the household, and then mom doing everything, you know what I'm saying, like that. But again, he didn't understand the dynamics of money. So they showed him something, but didn't teach him. So he tried to mirror what he's seen in his parents. And he had a really horrible jealous streak to the point, like, if we went to the mall or if we went to the movies and somebody looked at me, he was ready to fight. Automatically, it was just like, it was a fight.
Ooh, toxic.
If somebody said something to me, if he was in ears, you know, shy of hearing it, or if somebody came up and said something to me, you know, and they were a male, oh, it was a problem. He was ready to fight. And so I'm like, okay, this is a little weird, but all right. He's like, well, no, I'm doing it because I got to protect you and I love you. And, you know, we got a family, blah, blah, blah. So keep in mind that I'm doing this because I love you. I'm doing this because, you know what I'm saying? So just keep that sentiment in mind, right? So it came to a point where I had to work because, again, he was horrible with fucking money. So I ended up working, but the condition of me working is I had to work for his same company. So I did. And they had me training because of the knowledge and the schooling that I already had. They were like, okay, we can't just put you at the bare minimum because at this point, you know too much. So number one, they brought me in at a pay rate higher than his. He didn't like that shit. And number two, they were like, okay, you already have the knowledge, so we're going to have you training. And I had to train a male. He didn't like that. Oh, it was a problem. It was a problem that I was training a man. It was already one smack to the face that they brought me in making more money than you. Now it's another smack to the face that they have me training a man. So I have to be side by side with the man for 6 weeks. It was a problem.
Getting all intimate and shit.
That's what he thought.
No.
So, in that...
I was speaking from his perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. But see, in that interim, a lot of other middle shit happened. in between that. But that ultimately led to him feeling or thinking that he had a sense of ownership over me. And he decided to act in a manner which included him listening to everybody else and not listening to his wife. So a female approached me because she wanted my phone number. And I told her, well, you know, I'm married. I'm into men. You know, I'm married. You know, I got a husband that works here, as a matter of fact. So she seen my last name, of course, figured, oh, okay, that's who she's married to because they got the same last name. They both got on wedding rings, right? So her friend came up to me and was like, you should not have done that. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she was like, she does not handle rejection well. Nobody tells her no. She was like, you should have probably just gave her your phone number and at least entertained a little bit of it. But if I'm telling you I'm married, why am I going to entertain you? You know what I'm saying? And especially you're a female, and I, you know, no offense to anybody, you know, that loves on females. That's fine. But again, I was married to a man at the time. So she ended up befriending him and whispering in his ear every day that she seen what she felt was an intimate interaction between me and the guy that I was training. So as a result of that, we can fast forward. That led to her then coming on to him, him falling for it, and him sleeping with her.
Oh, wow.
So for me, I was like, well, you just, you know, committed terrorism. I'm good. And
terrorism.
I want a divorce. You know what I'm saying? So he was like, oh, I apologize. That and the other. And then he wanted to become sexual with me. And I was like, no. Now, let's also keep in mind that I ended up finding out I was pregnant. Again, with our third child. And I was just like, no. I'm not. I don't feel comfortable. I don't want to kiss you. I don't want anything. Right? So he tells our pastor. The pastor that married us. And me and his wife had to sit down. Me and the pastor's wife had to sit down. It was like, well, you know, you're not supposed to deny your husband. And, you know, I mean, of course, if you don't feel good, then that's okay. But it seems like you're just blatantly denying him. And you're not supposed to do that. In the Bible, it says X, Y, Z. You guys are one flesh, blah, 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 whoop, 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 right? And so I looked at her and I said, with all due respect, he dipped his dick in another woman. I don't want him, and I'm good. I said, he didn't tell you why he was being denied, I see, but he just told you that I wouldn't sleep with him. He just told you that I wouldn't have sex with him, that I would not entertain him sexually, but he didn't tell you why. I said, so you tell me in the Bible where it says that I have to deal with infidelity and still give him what he wants.
I'll wait.
She just looked at me.
Mm-hmm. Because what else could she do?
She just looked at me. And then she brought her husband in. And I told him the same thing. And he was, and like, him, he was like, shit. I didn't know. You know what I'm saying? You could tell he didn't know this part. He didn't know this part.
I mean, you could have told me that, brother. I can't save you.
He did not know this part. And so, you know, they both were just baffled. Like, well, shit, now what? You know, what do we do? Because we can't necessarily do couples counseling if this is what you've done. She has every right to feel how she wants to feel. So it was just like, now what? Because I'm not doing it. And do you? So they will 100% utilize the Bible to try and mind fuck you. And it's bullshit. So that's my experience with that. Quote unquote, love is an action word. No, love is an energy. And if you don't vibrate in it, you don't understand it. People say that they want this and they want that, but you've never experienced it. So how do you know when it comes along? You haven't even given yourself that type of love. So how can you try to expect it or place an expectation on another person when you haven't even given it to you?
How dare you, the audacity.
The double dose of audacity.
And that leads me to the next question. You see just how things just flow.
I know, right?
What universal knowledge have you unlocked over the past few days?
I thought we weren't ready to talk about that. What?
I put it down for a reason.
Oh, man. Okay. So, apparently, I am able to tap into the minds and the experiences of others and do divination in that space without being where the other person is. I think that's an easy way to explain it. So, why does my dog have a tuna can?
Defiant.
You said define it?
I said defiant.
Oh, yeah. No, my son ended up giving him a tuna can. But yeah. I am. I'm just more aligned than I thought I was. And I know that sounds really weird because I knew I was aligned. Like, let's be clear. But the level that I was able to go to a few days ago was something like no other. I literally was able to see somebody as energy. And I was completely sober. Let's just make sure that you have that clearance, that understanding. I was completely sober, but I was literally able to see past and see somebody as pure energy.
What do you call that?
I don't know what to call. I still don't know what to call that. I still do not know what to call that, but it was interesting to be in that space. It was an honor to be in that space, to see what I seen, felt what I felt, heard what I heard, and just be stripped away of this human side.
And I don't think people understand being stripped of your human side and knowing that what that looks like and knowing how that feels to be energy, to be beyond this flesh.
I mean, I can really only say that it's an experience.
But an experience you can only have if you're vibrating in that energy.
Yes.
I think the movie Wrinkle in Time. A great
movie. That is a really great movie.
That people should rewatch again. Rewatch again with today's knowledge that you have in your head. Yeah, you probably seen it.
I have. I've seen it Wrinkle in Time.
But watch it again. Mm-hmm. You'll understand exactly what she's talking about.
You know, last night I also I watched the movie Fallen. And it just, as many times as I've seen it, it just makes so much more sense.
You said Fallen.
Mm-hmm. With Denzel Washington.
I'm about to start watching the OA. I have not started that. I know it came out in like 2019, but shut up.
Fallen came out in like 2006. So they've been telling us for years, y'all. They've been telling us, they've been giving us this knowledge for years. And we have not taken advantage of it.
Like, we tapped in, but like, oh, how tapped in do you think you are? Because I don't think you tapped in like you could be.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have to say, like, that experience just, it really, really makes me ready for the next level.
You're telling me it's more levels?
Yes.
Oh, that's dope because you didn't know.
I mean, I knew there was more levels than what I have been able to access. I knew that part.
No, I mean like that. I mean like you didn't know that that was going to be that.
No. 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 Not at all. The visual, the feeling, shit, the after effects, none of that shit. My leg still hurts. Still sore.
Back.
I feel like I was in the gym all night.
And you were sober. So it's crazy just being able to travel with somebody that's traveling and still be put and get into the energy of it.
And I think that was the most reflective part for me. I mean, let's be honest, I'm generally always sober. You know, I've been called a prude and I'm okay with that. But I've never reached that level. Like, it was literally as if I was on a psychedelic level without being on psychedelics. Because how am I able to literally strip someone of their humanity as I'm looking at them, them being stripped of humanity and being nothing but energy?
Not even in the same room.
Not even in the same room. Me being able to see the aura beams off of another. Like, that was bananas. Most people be afraid of it, but that actually made me want to dig and dive deeper. Like, I was literally able to pace the heart rate, new breathing pattern, everything.
Literally tap into the energy. Sober.
Look, I'm ready when you're ready.
I ain't got a lot of work. Like I said, that'd be for another segment.
Okay.
Maybe part two to what the fuck is they talking about?
Okay.
You have to chime in for the next podcast for that one.
Okay.
Still processing, still downloading. But coming soon.
Coming soon.
Right along. Number five.
Mm-hmm.
What does being chosen mean to you, and how can you see it in other people?
Being chosen, I can tell you what it looks like. The moment that you don't feel aligned with your own family, the moment you consider or are considered the black sheep, when you are able to not follow the same patterns, the same bullshit, the same family habits. Because let's be honest, there's no fucking such thing as generational diseases or generational curses. It's generational habits. Things that somebody has not broken. Things that somebody have not gotten out of. Everybody is still in the same tangled web because they taught what they learned. Opposed to having anybody who was a free thinker. If you are a free thinker, let this be the message that you are not the black sheep, you are the golden child. But even if you do consider yourself the black sheep, just remember, just like a famous creator has said, you know, black is luxury. Stand in that. It is okay to release the family that you were born into and to find your soul family. So the moment you continue to feel out of place, you don't think like everybody else, you don't view things like everybody else, you don't feel like everybody else, you've literally pulled away from the dynamic of what they've created year after year, generation after generation, that's how you know that you are chosen to do something different. You are chosen to wake up the masses in your family. And if they choose not to follow or fall in line, it is okay to leave them behind. You see it. You feel it. It's literally, it's an experience. So if that resonated with you, I'm talking to you. If you had no idea what the fuck I'm talking about, then it wasn't for you. I still love you, though, but it wasn't for you.
No, because you said something key there. You said you're not breaking generational curses, breaking habits. And that's important to say, because a lot of people say, yeah, I'm breaking generational curses. And it's like a fame song that everybody caught on to and keeps saying, but not really understanding right. The depths of what they're saying. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not a curse. It's a bad habit. You're saying that you're cursed.
Mm-hmm.
With your words. You're saying your family is cursed. Be careful with your words.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And that goes for a lot of people. Stop saying that you're cursed.
Yeah. Now, of course, can there be things going on with your bloodline in a spiritual aspect? Absolutely. But it still boils down to the habit of nobody breaking it. Everybody just accepting it. Everybody just moving on. Instead of actually actively working to grow from it or to get rid of it.
Right, because like if you even find out that your bloodline was cursed because of something or what somebody had did in a previous life,
mm-hmm.
you don't want to carry that vibration into this life.
Right.
And then you said the black sheep, you're the golden child. Yeah. Because, of course, I identify as a black sheep. I used to talk, and I'm like, people just look at me like I was freaking different all the time. My mom used to judge me because I always used to take bubble baths. She's like, why are you taking bubble baths? I'm like, because I feel relaxed in them. And then she used to tell my uncles and shit. And they used to, like, try to call me gay and shit. It was like, I like bubble baths. It is just like, it was just a whole thing of just being different. I didn't want to eat the same food they ate. Or even right now, I want you to be vegan. And then everybody eating meat and stuff around me. I'm like, I can't eat that. Or I'm not eating that. And they look at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, you really about to act like you vegan? I'm like, hey, it's not an act. First of all, let's be clear about something. When it comes to choosing not to eat meat. I can't eat meat if I fucking wanted to, okay? Mm-hmm. My digestive system can't take it. My face can't take it. As soon as I decide I want to eat a burger and move in God's direction and change my diet, it was like, okay, all of this is going to turn into mud. It's going to taste nasty. It's going to taste like, it's going to taste gross.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you'll see me smacking on a watermelon all day instead of a steak. Steak could be smelling good as hell. It could, the way you seasoned it. But the way it's going to taste on my my tongue, bleh, it's not going to taste the same. Think about people who are like, this don't taste the same like it used to. Kind of like me, because I grew up eating honey buns. I used to get a honey bun every day from the gas station before school.
Ooh, headache.
$2 for $1. Smacked them. Delicious. I eat that same honey bun a day, it tastes like plastic. I'm like, this is not the honey bun I ate in grade school. It can't be.
Same bullshit.
Have you ever reached back and tried to eat a childhood snack that you used to just smash and today you just like, I can't believe I was eating that shit?
Mm-hmm. I used to eat them Star Crunches from Little Debbie's. That shit is so nasty.
They're like them zebra cakes. Like, I used to smack zebra cakes, yo. I had a sweet tooth. So, I used to eat them strawberry. It was the zebra cakes. It was the strawberry shortcakes. I used to smack those. I can't eat none of that shit, no. So, people have to also understand once you get into the spiritual space. When you change your diet, you don't have a choice. You can't, there's no going backwards.
Yeah.
There's no going backwards. We're choosing to do better, but we have to do better.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're going to pay for it.
That is facts.
Like your smell. You smell different.
Yes.
Yeah. Like people that got locks. The specific locks. You want to eat healthy, because if you don't, then your hair is going to start to stink. Believe it or not, I went, just to test this theory, I went 3 months without washing my hair. You could smell my hair and not smell the difference. You're like, you could smell my hair and you would not tell that I didn't wash it in 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's because my diet was fruits and vegetables.
That even boils down to, like, deodorant, too.
I can't tell you the last time I put on deodorant. I don't have a must smell. I might smell like sweat. But even my sweat don't stink. Because the sun isn't burning dead meat through my pores.
Mm-hmm.
It's fueling energy. Feeling the strawberries, the blueberries, the cantaloupe, whatever the fuck fruit I ate that day. It's literally fueling me. The sun is not tiring me out and draining me. Some of y'all, the sun is beaming and fucking y'all the fuck up.
Beating y'all ass.
And that because you ate all that shit on the 4th. Burgers, hot dogs, all that shit. And yeah, the sun gonna seem even hotter today. I go outside, I feel free. But I digress, you know. People gonna eat what they wanna eat, ain't gonna tell you what to eat. Just know how you gonna feel. And they lied to us about protein and
yeah. Cause the best protein come from nuts.
It's just plants have protein. Plants have more protein than meat.
Mm-hmm.
10 times more protein than meat.
Meat is secondary protein.
And you have to understand the protein that you think you're getting is in the blood of the meat. Mm-hmm. The blood carries the protein.
So the moment you get to cooking it and putting all your Tony Satcheries and shit like that on there.
Protein. Yeah, you cook the protein out.
It's done.
You know who ate protein? The people that can eat it raw. And you know who can eat it raw.
Animals.
Mm. I think they like their steak pink. They get a little taste of that blood. A little taste of that protein. That's you?
I can't fuck with no pink meat. I'm sorry. I just can't. It's not gonna happen.
We still talking about food, right?
Yes. But.
Oh, shit. No, I'm talking shit.
I mean, you're not wrong that either, but. No. I cannot. We were talking about that last night in Google Meet.
Okay.
Talking about, you know, them liking their steaks and stuff like medium well. The moment that meat looked gray, pink.
You need a taste of that blood. You need a little taste of that protein.
That's what I like almonds for. I gave them a remedy. I said, listen, if this is what y'all want, then here go a real good remedy for you. Get you some sea moss. Get you some almonds. Raw cranberry juice, y'all. Not no fucking ocean spray, okay? Raw cranberry juice. You'll feel a lot better. I gave them a liver detox serum. All kind of stuff. They got heavy in Google Meet last night.
Were they listening?
They were. They actually were like, okay. They were like, I have to write this down because they're committed to life changes. So that's the difference between, you know, my private space and all these other wannabes that just, like you said, do it for the gram. Because what do you do when the camera is off? You know, what do you do when nobody's looking type situation? And I did. I gave them a wonderful liver cleanse, a wonderful detox. I also provided them with a wonderful, this is my platform, I don't give a shit, but something to keep the coochie juicy, naturally, all natural elements, all natural things. So they soaked it in.
And I'm glad a lot of men are starting to listen too, because like women not going to want to deal with you if you eat meat because they done cleansed their system out. They're not going to want you to penetrate them with your meat eating ass.
Mm-mm. No, you are not. Hell no.
They gonna smell it in you, and you gonna be like, "But we have a good connection. Why we can't have sex?" Like, because you smell it.
Like, I just, it, ugh.
That's the thing, fellas. That's the thing. That's the thing. I promise you, that's the thing. It's not going to even be if you're a good person or not. What's your diet looking like?
That part. Because if you eat a whole lot of red meat and this and that and this and that, it's just, it's a no for me. I, like,
even if, and I'm just being realistic, even if you still want to indulge in meat sometimes, you still need to learn how to detox your system.
Right.
And flesh system and eat the right things. Mm-hmm. Include a lot of healthy shit into your diet. And after a while, dude, you're not even going to want to eat the meat because then you're just going to be snacking on fruit all day. You're going to shrink your stomach and you're not going to be as hungry as you think you are. Mm-hmm. A lot of you think you're hungry when you're really just thirsty.
Yes. Water.
Water. How many times your mama said, if you hungry, drink some water and take your ass to bed?
Oh, that's our insider for right now. Water.
Water. Well, you need some water.
Water.
Three times to get some water.
Oh,
y'all have to be present for part two to understand the insider that we're talking about. It'll be talked about, but not today.
Not ready today, but part two, yo, it's gonna make all the world of sense. Because part two, because this question is gonna lead to part two. This last.
Okay.
It's an easy question, though.
I mean, they were all pretty easy.
I mean, it's not gonna be nothing but like, oh, damn, I didn't say anything, but. Why do you think, or why do you know, I'm going to say why do you think. Why do you think the universe pointed you into my direction? Shadow soul.
I thought we was going to talk about this later.
I said it's going to lead.
Okay. Technically, I answered it earlier. Technically. But I want to say it without giving it away. So I will say that there comes a period and portion in your life where you have to really come into your power. And in order to really come into your power, you have to meet the counterpart with the same power. I'll just put it that way.
Ding! I just want my wine. You know what kind of crystal I need to put on it?
You said what kind of crystal you need to put on it? Mm-hmm. Okay, so there are a few crystals that I need you to get. But I don't know if I really want to say them publicly because one of them people try to romanticize and get fucked up with it.
Is that my fault?
That's not your fault.
Okay.
Not one bit.
Okay.
Wait. So.
What you play all the time? You stupid games?
Look. Okay. Right. So, there are five stones. I apologize. Five stones that I want Shadow Soul to get. The very first stone that I want you to get, and even if you have one, that's the old version of you that purchased that stone. So this is all going to be new stuff.
Oh, shit.
So the very...
I'll be writing it down.
Okay.
Where's that magic pen?
Not the magic pen.
Oh,
it's
a pen. And I'm ready.
The first one is called Indigo Gabbro.
Got it.
The second one, Labradorite. And anybody that knows me know I have a love thing with Labradorite. It is what it is. We connect. We're there. That's bae. So... You ready for the third one?
Yep.
The third one is Malachite.
Okay.
Malachite. Yeah. The fourth one is Smoky Quartz.
Smoky Quartz.
And the last one is You ready?
Because this is the one that I always be like, I hate telling people.
But they, again, they get it. They romanticize it any fucking way. And a bonus one just popped up, but the bonus one is not for now. The bonus one will be for later. But I also want you to get some Moldavite.
Moldavite?
Mm-hmm.
How the fuck you spell that?
Moldivate.
Or actually bite Moldavite.
Now, with Moldavite, you have to make sure that it is real. It only comes from the Czech Republic. It is not Canadian. It is not American. Nothing like that. It comes from the Czech Republic. So, just so you know, make sure that it has a certification to it.
That was important.
Mm-hmm.
Bar next to that. Yeah. Moldavite, Smoky Coast, Malachi, Laboratory, Indigo Bar.
Mm-hmm.
And a potential bonus one, what star next to it?
The bonus one will be the partner to Moldavite, and this is what a lot of people don't know. But the partner to Moldavite that also helps radiate and activate the energy within Moldavite is meteorite. But all of these stones are equal opportunity fucker-uppers. The only one that people will scave by with is smoky quartz, because smoky quartz can absorb and transmute any type of negative energies. Everything else is going to propel you into being you. So these are also going to be the stones that will be around us when the time comes.
All right, hitting the spiritual shop and first thing in the morning. She better have them all too, or we gonna fight.
Ooh, I mean, but that's the thing. Like, Moldavite is I don't want to say it's hard to come by, but you're not gonna find it everywhere, and especially not if it's authentic.
Okay. All right, well, that is my list of questions.
Okay.
See? Weren't that bad.
Oh, no. They weren't that bad at all. I mean, I don't know. Like, I really wouldn't expect to have any bad questions, because I don't think, for me, there would be a bad question. So, of course, if y'all got questions, you know, feel free. to ask them. If they are for me, whether they are for him, it doesn't matter. Just ask. We'll respond. Or, you know what? Or do you want to put out a video to do a Q&A for our followers, listeners?
Q&A. Because I know people love to ask me questions all the goddamn time. I'm like, this is your moment.
I'm just saying.
But I also get asked the same question over and over and over again.
Well, that's the good part, because if they ask you these questions and they ask you over and over and over and over again, you can easily just send them the podcast. Unless you want to do a video. So it's up to you.
I like my face. Probably do a video.
Oh, God. Okay.
Oh, shit. I'm stupid. Very no attention.
Ay. So, we can, I guess, do a video, put a video out, and, I guess ask for questions. And we will do a video response to it. I just see this going so left.
I feel like we got to do like two more podcasts to do in front of that.
Okay.
And then.
Okay.
Because we still got to do a little part two to this.
Yeah.
Oh, when I'm going to be ready for that. And then the other one. So I thought like we was initially doing.
Yes. Which, okay.
Your brain.
Okay. Where I was over here pulling somebody by the edges and didn't need to.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm with it. So, all right, y'all. So we are going to go ahead and end what y'all hear of our casual cosmic conversation so that we can lay out some more details of everything else.
Be used to me taking over the podcast every once in a while because I'm just jumping in and like, yo, that's my shit.
Yeah, I see it. It is what it is. I relinquish control. It's whatever. I can't.
You what?
I relinquish. At this point, listen, experiencing the experience, the cards was pulled. The experience was there. I'm flowing like water. There we go.
This is beautiful to hear.
I'm flowing like water, man. Easy. I'm easy. It took a lot to get here, so. Whew, it took a lot to get here.
That fresh water tastes good.
You know what?
Spring water. Oh. That looks good too. It's shaking up a little bit.
Good grief. Well, all right, y'all. So we're going to go ahead and end this, and we will. I can't say see y'all next time, but y'all going to hear us next time. And the time after that, and then it's going to be a video. So, there we go.
So, love and light, thanks for listening. Shadow.
I'm done. We too goofy for this. And then you tried to sprinkle the love and light at the end. Really? Yeah.
Nah. Yep. Love and light. Throw it out there.
Let's have some duality. Make sure that you are doing your shadow work before life fucks you up.
Damn. What are we doing?
Let's have some balance in this ending, okay?
Are we still in the air?
Yep. there's duality in all things, and they need to have that understanding. There's duality in all things. Ooh, because we do have to talk about angel numbers.
Yeah.
That could be the next one, though. So, all right, y'all. Peace and blessings. Love and light. Do your shadow work before life kicks your ass. Be weary and use your discernment whether you have a twin flame, a mirror flame, a soulmate.
Mirror flame.
You got to highlight that one. You got to highlight the mirror flame, right? Or if you have a soulless portal or aka a person who is a void of chaos. Okay?
Soulless portal? You didn't talk about that.
I did.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Did you say the word soulless portal?
I did.
And I gotta replay it back.
Yeah. A physical vessel void of divinity whose sole purpose is to deter your spiritual growth and sometimes cause harm. Yep, I sure did.
Yep, because I'm gonna record that and send it out. I'm sending that part of the podcast. Listen.
Good night, y'all.